The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. Sam Bridges and Tom Carnduff with you for the next hour. We're looking ahead to a busy night of action, especially at the top of the Championship. Brighton facing Newcastle as top plays second. Blackburn also in action post Owen Coyles. Tom is still in mourning. We'll head over to Ewood Park check in on what the floral tributes are looking like. Naz Premji will join us in around 10 minutes time. We're also heading over to Valley Parade as well. Bradford City looking to make it two wins on the spin against the MK Dons. Yes, finally they ended that run of draws at the weekend. We'll look back on all the action as well, including a couple of Yorkshire derbies. Leeds United victorious in one against Sheffield Wednesday. Huddersfield Town battering Barnsley, but only getting a point. We'll talk Football League news, good days, bad days as well. And we'll see if Tom's found another feature because, well, 30 Second Coil is no more. Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you through until 7. Tom, how are you doing? Are you bearing up all right?
Yeah, so. It's been a difficult week, but yeah, it's been all right. I'm there, coping. I'm all right.
Yeah. You look on the verge. On the verge.
Well, I was on the verge until I found out the news today that, of course, Motherwell sacked their manager. I think, what's his name? Mark McGee? This rings a bell. Yeah. The guy who had
he's
a go.
It like no one's ever heard of him. Like he's, I don't know. He's been around the block.
I don't know. I know him as the guy who had a go at the guy filming him after he got sent off the other week. Yeah. Owen Coyle, favourite for the Motherwell job. So I was in mourning until a couple of hours ago, and then I found out that Owen could be back. So I feel a bit better now. I feel more up to doing the show.
Yeah, it's interesting news. You were saying he's favourite now with a couple of bookies, but there's still a couple where you can get some good odds.
Indeed, yeah, he's pretty clear favourite on a few of them. Sky Bet still have him at 8-1, 4 favourite, which is a bit of a kind of interesting one to see who. Obviously, he's been backed heavily at some sites, but not so much on the others. So yeah, but it's enough for me to believe that he is on his way back into management. So. Fingers crossed, eh? Fingers crossed.
And it is the power of social media that you can have a 19-year playing career, playing just short of 500 games, an 18-year managerial career where you've managed the likes of Reading, Leicester, Wolves, Millwall, Brighton, Motherwell twice, Aberdeen, been the Scotland assistant manager, yet you were known for having a rant with some bloke with a camera phone.
It was very funny. Game. What do you mean, a camera phone? We're not in like 2005 anymore. Like,
what is it?
Everyone's got.
It's a phone.
It's just a phone. No, the phone. Right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Showing my age. But yeah, at least I remember Mark McGee for something other than ranting and swearing. But anyway, social media bringing people to new audiences all the time. Right, we'll kick off with Yorkshire news after we've done Mark McGee news, Owen Coyle news, plenty of action tonight. We'll look at Bradford City and Doncaster's games later. Huddersfield, of course, in action in the FA Cup tomorrow. Replay against Manchester City, and a big game for them at the weekend. And there'll be interest in the one tonight between Brighton and Newcastle. But we'll start with the other Yorkshire derby from the weekend, and that was Leeds United beating Sheffield Wednesday, Saturday lunchtime kickoff. And, well, not the best game to watch, but Leeds got the job done.
Leeds did get the job done. Like I said, it wasn't exactly, it didn't kind of set the world alight, but at the end of the day, it was quite a tight game. I think Sheffield Wednesday did have plenty of chances, but it was just kind of when they got, you know, towards the Leeds goal that they struggled to really get any clear-cut chances. Of course, they were gifted that penalty, really. It was a bit of a stupid tackle by Dakara to give it away, but you know, great save by Rob Green to keep Leeds in it. And yeah, it was weird to watch a Leeds team that looked, you know, against a team like Sheffield Wednesday who had Jordan Rhodes up front, who had, you know, could bring on players off the bench who would be first team players in most other squads in this league, and to keep a clean sheet's a fantastic achievement. And, you know, what a way to kind of get back to winning ways And to kind of send a bit of a message as well, I know Leeds have had a couple of dodgy results in recent weeks, but good way to kind of show you are serious about promotion by beating Sheffield Wednesday and, of course, doing the double over Sheffield Wednesday this season, which is a great achievement for Leeds.
Yeah, we were sat here last Tuesday, Naz Premji joined us, who will join us again.
Can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. But all the positivity was towards Sheffield Wednesday, most of it myself, after obviously they were yet to play that evening, and obviously they suffered defeat last Tuesday, so now back-to-back defeats to Sheffield for Sheffield Wednesday. But there was a lot of positivity. They won three or four in a row. Obviously, the new signings were scoring goals, Jordan Rhodes being the main one, and then all of a sudden, back-to-back defeats, and it... just, I don't know, it's just a very funny season for Sheffield Wednesday that they're in a good position.
Yeah.
They seem to underperform at times and it just doesn't quite seem right.
I don't know if the pressure's getting to them a bit. I know we're talking about kind of that gap that there is between Wednesday and sixth and the teams further on down, but Fulham have got those games in hand and Fulham have won one of those games in hand. And of course, Sheffield Wednesday dropping points at the weekend. Fulham are in a good position to well be in the playoff race. Of course, they play Leeds next week, I think it is. So, you know, there's a good chance there to pick up points. And it just doesn't look as safe as I think it did this time last week. So, yeah, it's a bit of panic coming in. But, you know, they've still got a very good squad. You can't take that away from them. They've did it last season. They're more than capable of doing it again this season. So, yeah, you'd expect them to probably finish top six, but you know, there is a case of Fulham are really sneaking up and kind of going under the radar a bit in their efforts to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, do you think there is a real danger that Sheffield Wednesday miss out, and it would be, well, a huge disappointment given the amount of money they've spent.
I think much like if Newcastle don't get promoted, I think you could almost say it's a bit of a disaster if Sheffield Wednesday don't make playoffs at least. Of course, they made playoff final last year, so the bare minimum, the minimum expectation would be at least playoffs again this season. So if they don't get it, a lot of questions are going to be asked. And you said there, the money they've spent, they finally brought Jordan Rhodes to the club, that transfer saga that seems to have gone on forever. And to not make playoffs, they'd need to have serious questions about it as to why they didn't achieve top six. But still there at the moment, so you know, of course, you can't write them off yet.
The accounts were out today for Sheffield Wednesday, and it shows the wage bill going from 11 million to about 18 million, if I'm remembering rightly. Not got the figures down in front of me, but it's definitely 6-7 million more than it was 12 months ago, which shows the investment that they've made. And if they weren't to finish in a better position than last season, then you have to start asking serious questions.
Yeah, and you know, I think the manager and the head coach, Carlos, I think he suits that club quite well. He showed it last season, showed it this season, and you know, I wouldn't say that sacking him would be the way forward, but if they didn't make top six, we saw it this week with Ranieri at Leicester. I know it's caused so much debate that he won in the Premier League and 10 months later they're sacking him when, you know, they're not saying they're going to definitely stay up, but it was almost like relegation was an awful, terrible thing. But I just can't see, if they don't make top six, how he's going to be able to keep his job. And then you're kind of back at square one where you're rebuilding again, much like they were under Carlos. Okay, they had that injection of cash, but you know, it's so much kind of down to the players as well to put those performances out. So yeah, again, you know, they're still in that position. They're still performing most weeks. There's been a bit of a blip in the last week. It's just that case of, you know, a Fulham, and then you've got kind of Norwich lurking around as well. If they're starting to pick up points and you're dropping it, it doesn't, you know, take a genius to work out you're going to drop out of the playoffs.
Indeed, very competitive top six, and now certainly looking at the top eight, really. I think you are looking at Norwich and Fulham, with especially that game in hand, who potentially could come and threaten the likes of Sheffield Wednesday and Reading. For me, I think Leeds will do enough to be in the top six. Do you go along with that? Do you think you are seeing enough from Leeds United to say they are?
I think so. I think that the only thing that Leeds kind of don't have in their favour compared with your Sheffield Wednesdays, your Newcastles, your Brightons, is the squad depth. Of course, you're looking at that defence that if, you know, Janssen, Bartley, etc. get injured, suspended, you're left with a problem. Much like if Chris Wood got injured, that would be a bit of a disaster at the moment, because Of course, he's firing in goals, 20 goals in the league this season, and they're really relying on him in that goal-scoring department. I think he's got 44% of all Leeds' goals this season. I think that's joint with Dwight Gayle. Then you look at the sheer number Newcastle is scoring. I firmly believe that Leeds are going to make playoffs. I think now the only concern for me was their performances against the teams at the top. Of course, didn't beat Brighton, didn't beat Newcastle. Again, they've got another chance to play those teams to get the results. And the Sheffield Wednesday result showed it, that they took an early lead and could kind of ride the storm a bit in terms of, you know, Wednesday using that attacking quality they had. Jordan Rhodes, etc., just, you know, obviously had the penalty opportunity. But apart from that, they kind of struggled to get a goal. So, yeah, I think now the expectation would be top six for Leeds. The points are there. They've got, an 8-point gap over Fulham. So, yeah, it's all positive.
Some other little bit of Leeds news, kind of. Co-owner Massimo Cellino linked with the purchase of Italian side Brescia, although I have released a press release saying otherwise.
Tell us more. Yeah, these rumours have been around for a while, actually, and they've kind of resurfaced recently that, of course, there's so many conflicted things of Cellino's kind of interest in Leeds now. Of course, it's now a co-ownership 50-50 situation. And yeah, the rumours were there, but now that club have come out and released a statement over the weekend, which essentially said that, you know, if my Italian/Google Translate is up to speed, says that the current owners basically said there's been no contact, direct or indirect, with Massimo Cellino. You're thinking, okay, but understand to kind of respond to the media rumours, but there's got to be at least something there for them to come out and say that there is no contact whatsoever. Because, of course, you get media talk all the time about clubs, transfer, takeovers, transfers, etc. So, yeah, that's come out, and it just kind of leaves the question of where Leeds will be, if they will be kind of with a new owner completely in the summer if he does move back to Italy.
Indeed. A nice segue into talking about Huddersfield Town. David Wagner and Gary Monk both received touchline bans after their handbags in the derby, the West Yorkshire derby, of course, with that late goal. David Wagner running down the touchline. That's got him a 2-match touchline ban. His counterpart, Gary Monk, with a 1-match ban.
One, yes.
Everyone happy?
I think they were going to get something, weren't they? They were going to get touchline bans. And I think the only reason Wagner's got a 2-game touchline ban is because he contested one of the charges, where I think Leeds and Gary Monk just outright said, yeah, we accept it. You know, we're not going to go against it. So, yeah, but for Huddersfield, that's two massive games he's actually going to miss. Okay, tomorrow it's Cup. It's a bit different, but it's still a great opportunity to progress. To, you know, put yourself out there even further if you can get a victory over Man City at the Etihad. And then, of course, Newcastle on Saturday, which is just a massive game at this stage in the season. So, yeah, I think, you know, as much as the debate was who was to blame, I think both managers did have some fault. You know, they both kind of knew what they were doing. There was blame attached to them both. So, yeah, touchline bans, not really surprising. I think it's fair.
And Huddersfield on Saturday, they were away at Barnsley and, well, battered them, really. 1-1 in the end. Adam Davies, a fine game in the Barnsley goal. But do you think they'll rue those two drop points, potentially?
Yeah, I think so, in one aspect, with how tight it is at the top. And then, of course, Newcastle dropping points as well. I think at one point on the live table, they were within 2 points of Newcastle. That could have been, you know, that really could have been something going into that game on Saturday. But, you know, sometimes it's just that. You're not going to get every day where you can hammer a team, you can batter a team in spells. Sometimes, you know, I'm sure if that game was played on another day, they'd probably, you know, a few of those would go in. So I'm not really sure what much else they could have done. You know, you just got to hand it to the Barnsley goalkeeper here, and, you know, he played fantastically, did well. And at the end of the day, it's still a point picked up away from home. As long as you're winning your home games and you're drawing your away ones, you know, you're going to be in a solid position for promotion. So, yeah, as long as they can, you know, if they can get a victory on Saturday against Newcastle, I think that's when it becomes, you know, really serious.
Mm. What about tomorrow night? Because they face Manchester City in a cup replay. Do you think it's same again for David Wagner, make a number of changes like in the first game?
I'd imagine it'd be similar, like I said, like the first game, where I think both teams will make those changes where, you know, at the end of the day, there's a massive game against Man City, but this is something really unique to Huddersfield, to be at the top end of the Championship, to be talking about them as automatic promotion candidates. So, yeah, you've got a massive game against Newcastle on Saturday. I think as big as it is a Man City away game, you've got to look to that. And, you know, we obviously trust this squad. This is the team that got them a 0-0 draw in the first leg. You know, why can't they do the same again and maybe go one further tomorrow night? So I'd expect a few changes.
Yeah. Would you expect an even weaker Manchester City team? Obviously, that 5-3 thriller in the Champions League has happened since. They've got the Premier League as well. Do you think Pep might chuck in maybe a couple more youngsters in front of that home crowd?
Potentially, yeah. I think they might have a bit more confidence being at home than going away. They're not stupid. I imagine they would have done their research on Huddersfield Town and they'd know that a lot of teams go there and a lot of teams don't get much from there. It's a tough place to go. And, you know, all the top teams have learnt that this season. You know, the way they're going up, Newcastle could well be on the way to learning that as well. So you probably expect them to work those and introduce those youngsters, whether it be on the bench, whether it be on the first team, and on a Wednesday even. And of course, they've got Sunderland away on Sunday and then that Champions League second leg game coming up very soon. So, yeah, I'd probably expect a weaker City side because, you know, the squad size they've got is just ridiculous. They're talking, their numbers go into the 70s, 80s, and that just shows the squad that they've got.
We're a reminder, we are live on YouTube and Facebook tonight. Get involved in the comments. Get your questions in for Tom as well. Really push him. Let's test Tom tonight, I think. Naz Premji hopefully joining us very shortly on the show as well. He's over at Ewood Park. We've got Liam Williams on his way to Bradford as well. We'll be touching base with him before 7 o'clock ahead of that game against the MK Dons tonight. Rotherham United, Tom.
Yes.
Another defeat at the weekend. They've only picked up 1 point in their last 8 games now. They still seem to be playing for Paul Warren, and they were unlucky on Saturday. It seemed to like they were going to get their second away point of the season, 2-2 right until the death, and then finish 4-2 Brentford.
It's gutting, isn't it, when you score an equaliser in the 87th minute and then go on to lose 4-2. But yeah, again, what can you say about Rotherham? Pretty much, they're a few weeks away from that relegation being confirmed now. It's looming in. The gap's just massive, you know. You're looking at the teams above them, Blackburn, Wigan, Bristol City all picked up a point in their last games. You know, they're adding to their points tally and just Rotherham aren't. So, yeah, it's gutting, but at this point they need wins. Draws just aren't enough if they are to pull up off the impossible. I think it's 200-1, I think I saw the other day, that you can get on them to stay up.
200-1.
I'm pretty sure that's
You'd be more than that.
Well, I think bookies are a bit reserved after the whole Leicester 5,000-1 situation, but it just shows that they're really in a struggling position at the moment.
Indeed, yeah. I said they still are seemingly playing for Paul Warren, giving it a good go. But for a lot of teams now, given that run, like it's Aston Villa next on Saturday. Steve Bruce has had a torrid time, really, since going in at Villa. They got a good win against Derby at the weekend, but then you're looking at Rotherham next and you're thinking, well, this is a good opportunity for us to get a win. A lot of teams now will be looking at Rotherham and looking to boost their position playing them.
Yeah, but at the same time, I can't see why Rotherham can't look at Aston Villa and say this is a good chance for us to win. Because, you know, they're down there still. They're not safe by any means, Villa. OK, there's a bit of a gap, but still down that end of the table. They finally got a win this weekend. I think they were on, what, 5 straight, 6 straight defeats, something like that, beforehand. So, you know, I can't see why, despite Rotherham's position, they can't look at this and go, we could actually get something out of this, especially being at home. You know, like I said, the players kind of seem to still be playing. You'd expect that. I suppose at this point, it's kind of damage limitation just to make it look, you know, less or not as bad as it could have been in terms of the points gap between you and safety.
I'll tell you what, I'd be interested to know the most goals conceded from a team being relegated. At the moment, you look at the bottom three, Wigan have conceded 40. In fact, just outside, Bristol City have conceded 50 in 21st place. Wigan have conceded 40 goals. Blackburn have conceded 50 goals. Rotherham, 77 goals conceded this season. Will they be relegated before they concede 100? Only 23 more goals.
They're well on the way, aren't they? They're well on the way, and that's, I think, that just show kind of sums up their season, to be honest. I'm trying to think of who really is similar to that in recent seasons. I know there's always kind of one or two teams who are relegated a bit before everyone else, but I don't know, maybe Yeovil, when they were in the Championship, and even, I don't think it was as bad as that. I just can't really think of another example recently that reflects kind of the position they're in. It's 17 points, 4 wins all season, 4 wins out of 34, 32 goals, 77 conceded. It's, I don't know what else you can say.
Indeed, we shall stick with the Championship. Next, we are going to head over to Ewood Park and touch base with Naz Premji next.
Did you know premium bonds have been around for 60 years? I recently won £100 in the monthly prize draw. I was off to the bank to deposit my prize warrant when my granddad came over. You know you can do all that online nowadays, he chuckled. And he was right. I now manage my premium bonds online, and I've chosen to have my winnings paid straight into my bank account. It's so much faster. You can too by visiting nsandi.com. Premium bonds, making people smile for 60 years.
You'll love how easy it is to buy a beautiful new carpet from Hillary's.
I bought our new carpet without leaving the house.
How?
Hillary's. Gave them a call and one of the carpet experts came to me. It was great to get advice from someone who really knew what they were talking about. And he brought loads of samples, so it was easy to find exactly what was right for me.
Oh, think they could find me something in tall, dark and handsome. For your free home appointment, visit hillaryscarpets.co.uk. Hillary's, you'll love what we do.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back. The FL 72. Quick reminder, we are live on Facebook tonight, so you can go and watch the show there. We're also live on YouTube as well, youtube.com/Radio Yorkshire. Search for us on Facebook as well. And now you won't be able to see our next guest because he's over at Ewood Park, but Tom is very excited to speak to this man. It's our resident Championship expert who's over at Ewood Park tonight. We say good evening to Naz Premji. How are you, Naz?
Good evening, Sam. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. Yes,
good.
I'll let you two go at it for a minute.
I'm just trying to recall, I think this time last week we were here talking about Sheffield Wednesday Leeds.
Yep. As I said to you,
remember you're quite confident.
First goal would be important, as I said, it turned out to be. To be fair, gents, on a very serious, it wasn't the best game, was it, really? It wasn't the best game from a viewing point of view. I think just the one mistake, and Wood, the first touch for Wood's goal is sublime. And then there's that spell in the second half, just before the penalty, where we've kind of asked a few questions and been on top. And had we scored the penalty, Tom, I think we'd have gone on to win the game, because at that point you were rocking a little bit. But the penalty miss kind of gave you a little bit more confidence, drained a little bit of ours, and, you know, that's the way things go. And you can't... It's one of those things. But, thankfully, other results have helped both teams out, with Cardiff getting a draw against Fulham and Ipswich doing us a favour against Norwich. And obviously we play Norwich on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, what do you make of Jordan Rhodes on Saturday? Then I think, you know, you can say what, you know, whether about the penalty, whether it's a good save, bad penalty. I've seen a few comments on each, but he just seemed to struggle to get into it a bit for me.
I think that's credit basically to I'm not going to say two centre-halves, I'm going to say three centre-halves, because for me, people focus on Bartley and Janssen a lot at Leeds, but Luke Ayling for me on Saturday was outstanding, and he kind of it was as if you were playing with three. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Ayling is maybe a little bit underrated, undervalued. He does the dirty stuff and goes maybe a little bit unseen, because Janssen and Bartley get all the headlines. But I think you did a job on both, really, on Forestieri and Rhodes. And do you know what? When he stepped up, I was watching the game in the Wigan press room with Neil Mellor, and Neil said to me, "Naz, I don't think he doesn't look confident. I don't think he's going to score this." And, you know, he was absolutely bob on. I don't think Jordan Rhodes is a penalty... I don't know if he is a penalty take. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know Forestieri was usually our penalty taker, because he missed the one at Brighton. I think he maybe thought, I'll give this one to Jordan because I don't really fancy it. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It was a strange game. But we've got a very key March coming up now, where we've got three home games and one away. The away game is at Rotherham, who, well, you know, Rotherham or Rotherham, you've just been talking about them. But the three home games, Norwich, Burton and Reading. And we can get, you know, we can get 6 points out of nine, 9 points out of nine. I mean, it's not going to be easy. Arguably, I think that the most difficult game of that will be Burton. And it's going to sound silly, but I think it will. Burton will be the most difficult game of that trio. Reading are hopeless. Reading can pass all the like. I'm still not having Reading, you know. I think the best thing for all of the Yorkshire sides in the Championship right now is for Brighton at Newcastle to go up. We don't really want one of those two slipping in. Mm-hmm. Because I think everybody, all the other three sides, Huddersfield, Leeds and Wednesday, would take Reading over a Newcastle or a Brighton. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not having this passing it sideways between centre-half and centre-half and full-back and then... I mean, they did it at... I was at Derby when they lost to Derby and two of the goals were when they were messing around in their own area.
Yeah.
And I'm not having that. I'm not having that.
Do you think the pressure's on a bit? Because obviously Fulham have got a game in hand. They win that. They're 2 points off Wednesday. I think this time last week it was probably a more comfortable position.
Yeah,
but...
it was. And the thing is, Tom, we did this last year, if you remember. Cardiff were nearly catching us, but then... they didn't. And I think that's it's kind of mirroring last season. But March is going to be very, very important. If we can pick up four games, right? 9 points out of 12 or 12 points out of... I mean, 12 points out of 12 would be magnificent. But, you know, football doesn't work like that. but I look at Leeds' next three or four. It's not easy, is it? You've not got an easy march.
No.
You've got... Is Newcastle in that little...
Brighton at home's in there.
Yeah.
Fulham away as well, of course, starting with Birmingham away this week. But
on Friday.
Yeah, Friday. So it's difficult. But then saying that, you're looking at pretty much everyone's got difficult fixtures, especially Newcastle with Brighton, Huddersfield, Reading as their next three. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting month.
Yes, it is. And from a Leeds point of view, Tom, you just need to make sure that between now and the end of May, Chris Wood doesn't get an injury.
Oh yeah, be wrapping him up in bubble wrap between games and training.
If I was Paul Robinson at Birmingham, I'd be on the text now and saying, right, just kick lumps out of him, pal, please, for us. that would probably be the ammo for all the others in the playoff zone. Because I think if he did go. And get a couple of weeks off or whatever, then you'd be in trouble because I don't think you've got any backup at all.
No, I think that showed at the weekend when you're looking at the two benches that there wasn't really a recognised striker on Leeds.
You know, all credit to you, you're playing to his strengths and he's scoring goals and he's probably the most confident forward in the Championship right now.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
In terms of the next month, Naz. So obviously the two teams chasing down the teams in the top six are Fulham and Norwich. Obviously Sheffield Wednesday play Norwich at the weekend.
Fulham is the final game, by the way, at Hillsborough. Last game of the season is Sheffield Wednesday, Fulham at Hillsborough. Just so you know. Go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted
it's,
you.
What were you going to say? Well, Norwich is marched, if we're looking at the months ahead. So obviously, Sheffield Wednesday away. Then they go to Bristol City on the Tuesday. Then it's Blackburn and Barnsley at home. Whereas, comparatively, Fulham have got a difficult month ahead. Preston at home on Saturday. Then, of course, Leeds on the Tuesday, live here on Radio Yorkshire. Then they go to Newcastle. Then they've got their game in hand, which people keep talking about, which is at home to Blackburn. And then they play Wolves at home on the Saturday. So they've got that extra game in March.
I'm a big believer of points on the board as opposed to games in hand. I don't know about Tom and yourself, Sam, but I prefer the points on the board. Our game in hand was against Brentford. We lost it. And there you go, it's gone. At this stage of the season, it is all about getting the points on the board, whether it's one or three. If you can't win, don't lose. Sounds stupid, I know, but that should be the mantra from now for all those teams in the playoff zone. If you can't win, don't lose. Don't give other teams the opportunity to catch you up. The gap is still significant right now. Of the two, I'd be slightly concerned about Fulham than I would Norwich. I don't think, you know, I saw Norwich lose at Rotherham and they were hopeless. You know, and Rotherham haven't won many. I'd be more worried about Fulham than I would be Norwich.
I think Fulham, I don't know, I'm looking at it as a kind of a top seven in terms of the promotion. Like you said, I think Norwich, Preston, I'm not too sure about whether there's too much for your Barnsley, your Derby, especially Derby now. They look like they're on a bit of a revival.
Tonight is a must-win for them.
Oh, yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. But I think there's just too much between them and the playoffs now to kind of get into it. So, like I said, I'm looking at it as kind of a top seven. I think if anyone's going to come in, it's probably going to be Fulham. Hmm. But at the moment, I don't know. I can just see it staying as it is.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. From everybody's point of view, I hope you're right.
Yeah, definitely. Hmm.
Today, though, this tonight could be absolutely anything because, let's be honest, Blackburn are in bother and they've called on, when you're in bother, who do you call?
Well, Neil Warnock's unavailable, so...
Big Tony comes in.
Let's get on the phone to Big Tony. Big Tony, who couldn't win anything in Scotland with Celtic. Well, I could manage in Scotland and win a trophy, I think. Big Tony.
Exactly.
Mm. Big Tony. Drew against Burton on his opening game. First home game in charge. This could be... Do you know what? This could be a very long night for me. Really cool. And Derby, you know, without a win in five.
In the all of February.
Yeah. It's crazy. Crazy. It could be a very, very, very long evening, this. At the bottom end, by the way, I was at probably the worst game I have seen in my near on two decades of doing this job at the DW Stadium on Saturday.
I've heard your very positive review, your message to some of us.
It was absolutely awful. I think Blackburn have got a little bit more about them than Wigan. Do you know what I mean?
I think
you look at the lineup and all right, it's not great, but Danny Graham, Marvin Emnes, they've got Lucas Jow here as well, Sam Gallagher, the lad Conor Mahoney, he should be starting every game for me because he was the one that causes all sorts of problems at Hillsborough. He caused Rotherham all sorts of bother when he came on. There just seems to be a little bit more steel about Blackburn. And I would say they've got a better chance of getting out of it than Wigan. Goodness me, that was... I mean, the Forest as well. What a basket case of a club that is. You know, those two clubs should be ashamed of serving that up to me on Saturday. Ashamed. Seriously, it was beyond... It was... I'm going to use an Eddie Jones line right now, right? Okay, all those fans that came then, there weren't many, let's be honest. Even the press box was empty. All those fans that went to Wigan on Saturday should get their money back because they didn't see a game of football. It was not football. It was just like a train.
I won't be looking for the DVD then.
No.
Fair enough.
So you're a relegation candidate tonight in Blackburn. You've seen one in Wigan. Do you think either of those two are going to survive? What about Forest? Can they get dragged into it as well?
I think Forest get dragged into it. I think Bristol City get dragged into it. Don't be surprised if Aston Villa are teetering, and I mean teetering because they ain't no good. He might not be everybody's cup of tea, but Mowbray's an organiser, isn't he? You know, they'll be very tough to beat. His Middlesbrough side was boring, wasn't it? Let's be honest. They were really bad in terms of, but they were tough to beat. Defensively, they were sound. So. With Mowbray, I think he might just have something about it to get them over the line. And I think Bristol City and Forest will be in a bit of bother.
I think Wolves kind of go under the radar a bit on a lot of relegation chat.
You look at the table, right?
Yeah.
Blackburn on 30, Wigan on 31, and then there's a couple of points to Bristol City. And then if you look from Wigan up, it's 4 points to Wolves. And then 5 to Burton and 6 to Forest.
It's not much in it.
It's not
much in it.
We're all confirmed that Rotherham are down, but it could be any two from about six, really, six or seven.
Yeah.
A couple of those teams have one or two games in hand. You talked about having points on the board before, but for Tony Mowbray walking into this job, he'll be delighted that Blackburn have got two games in hand on Wigan, a game in hand on Bristol City, two on Burton and Forest.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be marking those off and saying, look, I want 1 point there, three here, maybe one there, maybe nick a one there, maybe three here, three there. I'm glad we've played them twice under tactically inept Owen Coyle. We beat them twice, so that's all right. I don't know if Leeds have got a go there. Have Leeds got a couple?
Leeds have already played them twice.
Yeah, you know, I'd much rather be not one of those teams that have to come here now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think they'll get out of it. I think Blackburn will get out of it. I think Wigan go. And they won't be a loss to anybody in the Championship if they do. Rotherham are already gone. The other one, take your pick.
Yeah.
Take your pick. It could be anyone.
So, what type of game are you expecting this evening?
Drab, dour, yeah. Boring. plenty of tough tackling going on. Maybe Blackburn trying to disrupt the flair of Derby that they have, you know. But again, just like I said at the weekend, first goal's important. If Blackburn score the first goal, my goodness me, Derby going to have a bit of bother. If Derby score the first goal, it could be five or six. One of those.
Indeed. Naz, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, and do we have any odds on Owen Coyle's next destination?
Well, Tom, yes.
Well, yes, favourite for the Motherwell job.
Is
with
he?
Some bookmakers at the moment, yes. Or... more ambitiously, 50-1 for Leicester. So, who knows? But yeah, Motherwell seems to
maybe,
be
when Sean leaves Turf Moor for something a bit bigger, maybe back there for a little bit.
I can back that campaign.
The big homecoming, yeah.
Yeah, nice homecoming, maybe. You know, open arms. You know, open top bus parade for him to walk back into Turf Moor and send you. Horribly.
Well, I'm looking at some of the odds now, and he's not on the Barcelona next manager or next Arsenal manager odds, which are a big surprise. But
he's got, I tell you what, I'd love to have his agent.
Oh, definitely.
I'd love to have his agent because how he gets jobs is beyond me. Because as I said to you, tactically inept. Anyway, I digress.
Indeed. We shall wait. Maybe we should get him alongside you now, just to keep you entertained.
Yeah, do you know what?
Why don't we?
Why don't we do that? Maybe organise. I'll get his number, and we can have a little little studio discussion about tactics and
I would love that.
Football. I'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Well, there you go. That is your challenge, Naz Premji. Should you choose to accept it, but enjoy tonight. And
thank you very
should
much.
Should be a good game, I'm sure.
Thanking you. And well done, Tom. It was a good win. Well done.
Thank you.
There we go. Friends at the end. Naz Premji, thank you very much. Always good to have Naz on the show, but it always means, Tom, because you had to produce a nice tight running order for tonight,
yes.
Because you were getting upset that we were almost missing your
features. I wasn't losing sleep. But...
we're badly over time. So I'll tell you what, we shall talk a bit of... the rest of the Yorkshire news after this. We're going to play Stuart McCall because Bradford finally got a win. They've drawn every game for forever. finally on Saturday, they beat Port Vale. Alex Jones with the winner, of course, on loan with Port Vale earlier in the season. And here is the gaffer, Stuart McCall, after that game.
Happy with a lot of the performance. Absolutely delighted with the result. It was one we needed. I thought the first half hour... we controlled the game. Having said they've had a couple of long-range efforts, but we've had six, watching the game back, acceptable, good chances, really. And when you don't take one of them, you begin to think, deja vu, it's going to come back to bite us again. But pleasing, obviously, to go into half-time with a deserved lead. But then to come back out and, you know, they're going to come on at you. They're 1-0 down, they're at home, they need to win or need to get points. Disappointed with the goal that we lose. But then that's what mentally... good bit of character for them to bounce back and get the winner. So overall, a lot of pleasing things in the performance. We've played better this season and not won. So the result at this stage of the season was key.
You beat MK Dons, Stuart, earlier on in the season, but I guess now with Robbie coming in, it's going to be a completely different ballgame.
I think it is, yeah. I mean, that was a big win for us, and it probably jolted them. I think they came down, they still had a really good squad, probably most favourites to bounce straight back up, and that was their first home defeat, and then they struggled to recover from it. I remember for the first hour we were terrific. We played a certain way, and you know, we struggled. I mean, we had about four or five lads missing. You know, we really had two or three young kids on the bench. I think we only had five on the bench, so it was a brilliant result for us. Not only the fact it was 3 points, but it was a marker for the rest of the season. You know, this is what we can do. I take your point. I think it'd be a totally different game tomorrow. They've changed a lot of things. He's trying to get them to play in a different manner. They're certainly more difficult to create against. You know, they sit with the back four and the two in front, but they'll always carry a threat with the quality they've got in their final third. So, it could be a night. As I say, we need patience from everyone, really, from the players, the staff, and certainly from the fans.
I'm speaking to you, Rory, and sort of saying the performances this season have been really good and plaudits, but maybe not the points. I guess it's just all about results at this stage.
It certainly is, yeah. I think from our point of view, you know, you can nick results when you're not playing well, and it probably paints a false picture, but from our point of view, we know, we should have, the performance should have yielded more than we've got, but we haven't, so it's a fact of life. So we've got to start putting 3-pointers on the board. Obviously Saturday was huge, but you know, we don't want to put too much pressure on it. It's a must win game. As I say, there's a points tally that we need to get to by end of season, and that's what we're trying to do. But you know, I take your point, we need to start turning these draws at home into victories, and we're aiming to do that naturally.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. Some news for you tonight. The game Walsall-Chesterfield postponed due to a waterlogged pitch in League One. Unlucky.
It's my evening
for,
ruined.
More importantly, Joe Rawson's evening ruined, heading down to
just gone
Walsall
down there for no reason.
Yeah, for the game to get called off. Unlucky Joe. But never mind. I'm sure he'll appreciate one of the early night. I'm sure he will. Tom, let's just finish off the New Yorkshire news from before. Bradford didn't draw is
they didn't
the headline,
draw.
And they didn't. And a chance to make it two on the spin tonight. We'll get Liam on very shortly from Valley Parade tonight. It's the MK Dons who head to Bradford this
yes.
evening.
Yes, yeah, that starting off by the weekend, I've just felt so relieved to actually see a Bradford win, so we could talk about something else than them drawing all the time. As soon as that Port Vale equalised, as soon as Hooper scored, you just thought, here we go again. We're going to be sat here on Tuesday talking about a Bradford City team who just can't get out of this run of draws. But no, managed to get the win. And like you said, going into the MK Dons tonight, who massively underachieved this season when you think about it. Still sitting 15th despite managerial change. For Bradford, they'll be looking to get rid of that run of three successive draws at home. So yeah, it's a great opportunity to get a win tonight. Like I said, sitting fifth in the league, they can close that gap on Bolton. I know Bolton have got a couple of games in hand, but you know, still not out of that automatic promotion race, not by a long shot.
Indeed, the team news is in for Bradford this evening. Just one change from the weekend starting lineup: Alex Gilliard coming in the place of Geordie Huula, Colin Doyle, James Meredith, Nicky Law, Romain Vincelot, Charlie White, Billy Clark, Joss Cullen, Alex Gilliard, Nathaniel Knight-Percival, Roy McArdle, Tony McMahon, the man who got the winning goal at the weekend, Alex Jones, on the bench. But good to see Alex Jones getting a goal. Obviously recruited in the January window after his fine form for Port Vale earlier in the season. And we see so many times players not celebrating against their old clubs. All right, he was only on loan there, but good to see the young man enjoying scoring again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I know we spoke about a lot of Bradford struggling to get the goals. It's good to see that, you know, the reliance isn't going to be on Charlie White to get the goals. That if he, you know, has a game where he doesn't find the net, they've still got other people within that squad who can, and that's shown at the weekend. So yeah, it's good to see him get a goal. Good to see him get the winning goal as well. And again, going back to the original point, just to get out of that just long-running, never-ending pattern of draws. So yeah, a lot of positivity to take into tonight.
Indeed, do you think they can get the result tonight? MK Dons not been in the greatest of form.
You'd expect them to. You'd fully expect them to. At home, I know they've, you know, when I saw them last time at home, I went to their game v Bolton. That first half was outstanding. Probably one of the best first halves of football they've had all season. And they'd be more than disappointed to concede a couple and draw that game. So they'll be looking back at that, the disappointment they had, obviously in front of a big crowd as well. So, yeah, you'd expect them to get the victory. You'd be looking at a Bradford win tonight.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Sheffield United, they saw off Bolton, 7 points clear of third place Fleetwood now. And, well, they've stretched their lead at the top and champions it, incumbents for me. But a good win and Billy Sharp's brace at the weekend, taking them even closer.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, a couple of tough games in succession for Sheffield United. You looked, they had Scunthorpe, which they did draw. There's two goals in a couple of minutes in that 1-1 draw. And then, yeah, the win over Bolton, fantastic kind of message to send out that, you know, you are a team who are capable of promotion. And like I said, champions, I think they're champions elect, champions to be in this league. They've got that 7-point gap already. Okay, Scunthorpe got a game in hand, but we spoke about game in hands, etc. So yeah, it's looking very positive at the moment. You'd fully expect them to be in the championship at least next season.
And for Doncaster?
Yes, Doncaster.
What is going on there? Because they're top of the league still by 3 points.
They are.
They've not won in February. It was 2-2 draw with Accrington. So they went top in January. They won every single game in January to get them there. And then February, they've had 4 draws and a defeat.
They've hit a real bit of a rough patch, haven't they?
But yeah, they're still 3 points clear and still 10 points clear of Pompey in third.
It shows the position that they built themselves in. They are so far clear, despite seemingly dropping points for quite a few weeks now, that it's commanding position. I just think that it'll be disappointing for them not to win the title. Because, you know, regardless of division, it's still a divisional title,
yeah,
a divisional trophy.
Goal, yeah.
So if they don't win that, they've got to be, you know, regardless if they get promoted or not, they still kind of have it there of, well, it could have been a confidence booster, it's another medal, it's another trophy, it's something to put in the club records. Mm. And we've kind of just thrown it away. So, yeah, it'd be disappointing for them not to win the league, but you'd expect them to get promoted anyway.
Indeed, I agree. Although Joe Rawson on the Yorkshire Football Show, get the TV show on radioyorkshire.co.uk, get it on YouTube as well. Yesterday said the lower league players don't care about winning the league.
What?
That's what he said.
Well, of course they do. If you're a footballer, your attitude's got to be to win. You want to be, no matter what team you're in, you want to be first, don't you? If that's the case, why don't you just settle for being seventh? You've got a chance at promotion.
Indeed, so. But there you go. That is the mindset of Joe Rawson heading back from Warsaw this evening after the game. Just if it was called off, maybe it's a much-needed thinking time. A reminder, we are live on Facebook tonight. You can go and watch the show there. Ryan James has been in touch. Forget Yorkshire, he says. It's all about the mighty Aston Villa.
Well, we've talked about
really?
We've had our relegation chat already. Moving on. Moving on.
The mighty Aston Villa, who are now... Oh, I think I've lost my table. Damn.
Down
I've
there.
Ruined my table.
Down there. 17th, if off the top of my head, let me check.
17th, you're
17th.
Correct.
There we go. Mighty Villa in the 70s. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, not so mighty, but we'll touch on the rest of the Football League now. And an interesting story you've tracked up. Involving the former Leeds United hero and Donny Rovers winger as well, El Hadj Diouf, what's
yes.
he up to?
Well, of course, played for Bolton, Blackburn, Doncaster, Leeds. He's he's revealed that he wants to become a politician in his home country of Senegal. Because El Hadj Diouf, you know, as we all know from his career over in England, really brought peace and love to the football pitch. Has now decided that he wants to become a politician in Senegal, which is bizarre. But one of those news stories you just read and you go, I'm not that surprised by it. Like I said, you know, he just thought, I brought so much peace and love to the games I played in the Football League, and I've got a reputation for it in England. I'm going to bring that back to Senegal and try and become a politician. So yeah, that's probably the bizarre news story of the week that I found anyway.
Maybe that should be the new feature that replaces the coil countdown. Just what people are up to. Because you're good at these stories. You seem to have one every week.
Yeah, that could be.
Someone's turned into a rapper or a politician.
Because obviously, yeah, I've not come up with a second feature because, frankly, I've just struggled all week, to be honest, with the news of Coyle. So, maybe that could be it. I'll get to work on it.
Elsewhere, Naz was at the game at the weekend for Nottingham Forest. Another interview from the owner in the local press saying no serious offers.
Yeah, of course, this January we had the John J. Moores takeover bid, which fell through. He said that there's been a couple of teams interested, or there's been a couple of groups who are, you know, have had talks, shown some interest, but no serious offers for Forest. But you've got to expect them to be sold in the near future with the interest that's there, with all the talk, etc., etc. So yeah, it's one that's worth watching anyway.
Nigel Pearson sacked from Derby earlier this season, of course, replaced by Steve McLaren, who's doing just an equally good job at Derby, 11th in the table at the moment. But some people linking him with that move back to Leicester, and of course he didn't do much wrong on the pitch anyway, Nigel Pearson.
Right, yeah. It's luckily in terms of the odds and the bookies, it's gone out a bit now, because I think it would have been outrageous if they sacked Claudio Ranieri and brought back Nigel Pearson, who just failed with Derby this season. Of course, did all right with Leicester, but it would have been a bit of a stab in the back to Ranieri to go, well, thanks for we're taking this guy back who was here before you, but we're having him back. But he's lengthened out. Roy Hodgson's gone into favour, actually, for the Leicester job, followed by Craig Shakespeare, obviously, after last night. But yeah, it's become a bit of an interesting one. Some of the names that were linked with him, I think early on, Gary Monk and David Wagner were early names linked as soon as the news broke. But yeah, it's kind of lengthened out a bit. But he's still in the running, according to a few people.
It's surprising that they didn't have someone lined up to do something like this, where you're getting rid of a manager who is popular with the fans and universally popular with the public as well, that you just not got someone to go in straight away, a bit like Hull did with, they got Mickey Phelan out and I can't remember his name.
Marco Silva.
Marco Silva came in.
I was just like,
blank on Marco Silva.
I can't read your mind. I need some
direction. Guy came in. Marco Silva coming in. And they would have something like that lined up just to put it to bed.
It's to be believed, the players, some of the senior players said they weren't happy with Ranieri.
Yeah, but that's been going on for quite a while, that rumbling.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still outrageous that they do that. It's a bit, you know, he won you the title. But yeah, it seems a massive surprise whether they did have someone lined up, because there was all the talk of Mancini, wasn't there? And then he came out and said, actually, I'm not interested in it. And that one was kind of put to bed. So whether they did have someone lined up and it's fallen through. But yeah, I'd be in disbelief if Nigel Pearson did go back after kind of the last season that Leicester had.
I want Pearson back. Get the ostrich boy back in. Neil Warnock.
Head in the sand.
He's not going anywhere.
No, he's not.
He's staying at Cardiff for another season. Good news for them. They're on a good run at the moment. They're still my outsiders for the playoffs. Still my outsiders for the playoffs. No, you're a non-believer, Tom.
Nah. It's too much.
There's loads of games left.
There's too much.
Seven games in April. There's 21 points to play for for all teams.
It's too much for me. Well, Warnock's agreed to another year at Cardiff. He's staying there for another. He's seemingly staying in Football Management forever, because every time he takes a job, he'll say, oh, well, I said to Sharon that I've got this job, and Sharon says, OK, go and do it. And then he's back in management. It's always one last challenge for Neil. He said it was one last challenge at Leeds back in 2012, and he's bad at 100 jobs since then. So yeah, seemingly staying in management forever, you just can't get away from it, can
he? I wonder what he's like to live with, Neil Warnock, because every time he comes home, he's like, oh, Sharon, I've had a call.
The people of Cardiff need me.
Get sick of him.
Now, he must be, he does that thing in press conferences, does he, where he has that bit of a cheeky smile, you know, like when they've won, oh, well, I thought, and then,
you know.
And then we got that, I brought the substitute, and then he'll do that. I reckon he's quite a happy, bubbly personality, but yeah, that personality.
Keeps sending him out. People thought Harry Redknapp would do a similar thing. They thought Harry would be in and out of management, doing all his jobs. He'd be kind of a Premier League Neil Warnock. But he's happy just doing...
Just chilling.
Yeah, just doing a bit of punditry.
He can't stay away, can he? I bet he does it where, right, I'm done with management now, and then one crisis club will go, get me Warnock. Get me Warnock on line one, and they'll ring him, and he just can't stay away. Go, oh, go on then. Go on then, I'll come back. Go on then.
But yes, he's staying at Cardiff for another season. So if not this season, Tom, next season, you reckon Cardiff?
I reckon
he'll seal that historic promotion for Mr. Warnock.
It'd be interesting whether the situation is different. It's perfect for him at the moment just to come in and save them. Neil Warnock can do that every time. 10 times out of 10, he'd just go in and save a club. Look at Rotherham last season. But Yeah, I wouldn't rule them out, definitely, if they can continue the form that they're on and they take that into next season, much like Barnsley have done in a way this season. But it's all to see kind of how the summer goes and the recruitments. But yeah, for a Cardiff fan, you can see why it's a popular decision.
Indeed, yes, Neil Warnock back. Well, staying at Cardiff for another season. We'll take a very, very quick break and then we will squeeze in Tom's original feature.
Only feature.
Good days,
now.
Bad days. We have to do it because, yeah, it's the only one left.
1 million is a gargantuan amount, isn't it? If 1 million people stood on each other's shoulders, they'd reach all the way to space. It'd be a bit cold at the top, though. So if I told you over 1 million people have chosen to sell their cars with WeBuyAnyCar.com, you might think, wow, I'm going to give that a go. Gargantuan. I like that word. Why don't you join them? Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Ah, Green Sleeves, a classic, penned by Henry VIII for his beloved wife Anne Boleyn. And after listening to this synth version while hanging on the phone, you too may experience a pain in the neck. Thankfully, if you're not a fan of Tudor Electra Hold music, you can now do your tax online instead of on the phone. The new personal tax account from HMRC is quick, easy and secure, and lets you check your tax and update your details online. See yours today at gov.uk/personal-tax-account.
Football chat and much more. The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
We've got so much time to make up that we're just playing everything.
It worked quite well. I like that. It worked weirdly well.
Do you think good days, bad days? We pretty much have no time left at all before the boxing. So get on with it.
Got top next week. Last week's Coyle-esque speed. Championship. Good day for Aston Villa. They ended a run of 5 straight defeats, 10 games without a win, with victory over Derby on Saturday. Bad day for Rotherham. They drew level in the 87th minute, but before conceding 2 in extra time to lose 4-2. League One. Good day for Bradford. They did it. They avoided a draw. That 2-1 victory over Port Vale puts them 3 points clear of 7th place Millwall. Bad day for Rochdale. 2 players sent off in a 3-1 loss against Peterborough. 8 games without a win after a run of 6 victories into League 2. A good day for Colchester. 2-1 victory over Hartlepool means they are now in the playoff places. They have 3 wins in their last 5. Bad day for Wickham. 2-1 loss to Crawley means it's now 6 straight losses in a row. Owen Coyle, eat your heart out.
Excellent. Well done, Tom. We can quickly cross over to Valley Parade. Liam has the team news and he's got 30 seconds to do so. Bradford against MK Dons tonight. Evening, Liam.
Evening, Sam. I'll run you through really quickly. Bradford, Doyle in goal, Meredith, Law, Vancelo, Wyke, Clark, Cullen, Gilead, Knight, Percival, McArdle and McMahon. A couple of changes for Bradford. Their subs are Sattelmeyer, Toner, Marshall, Dieng, Huula, Jones and Divine. I'll have a chat to you after 7.
Excellent. Liam, look at you two. You're professionals.
Perfect.
Professionals.
Boom.
Doing things on
no
time.
No time to mess around.
We gave him too much time to play for. Proper boxing is next. Noel Silky Jones this week. I'm joined by Sam Sheedy and Tommy Frank in a few moments' time.